Hey everybody, Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols with the Tactical Fitness Report. And today we're just answering questions. No specific topic that we have. We have a list of direct messages and emails that have come into our desk, and we're going to try to answer as many as we can before we run out of time. I don't think this one will be very long because we get about 10 of the same question, it seems like. So this first one, we did get an update from a guy that passed on some information to us about the Manual of Medical Navy Medicine. Just changed a rule that for the last 30 or 40 years, I know you could not have a waiver if you are colorblind or even color deficient. Every now and then, I think a person got through the system somehow. Maybe they took a different test. You know, there was like three different tests.
There was a couple of tests that, from what I understand, gave a person a range.
Right.
And if the average of those given combination of tests fell within whatever acceptable range, probably also due directly in part of whatever their job or MOS was too.
Right. Right.
Right. If you were like an aircraft controller, probably not going to get waivered. Kind of like in this case, EOD is not waivered, which in the sense of manually manipulating wires or switchboards or devices or anything that might have, that might be color coordinated, that might be a good idea. Again, I'm just guessing.
This is non-EOD.
Jeff Nichols making a guess.
I will also say this. This new change is not something to ask us about. We don't really know about it. You should ask your recruiter about it if you don't pass that colorblind test. It's NAVMED P117. Looks like it's Article 15. TAC 105.
Yeah, so it's an actual Navy instruction. So if you are colorblind and in the past were unable to get a waiver, let's say as an example, or you have not gone to a recruiter because you did understand at the time that you had colorblindness and that was going to disqualify you, now it might be a good idea if you still want to serve, would be to go to a recruiter, have them pull this Navy instruction up and see if it affects you for the future. That's our suggestion, because I'm not an authority, nor is Stu, in reading the particulars of what the instruction is, but it does exist, and it's a new one.
Yeah. So right now I'm just reading eyes, color vision, waiverable, depth perception, waiverable. Okay. Now it does also say here that this is for basically all special ops except for EOD.
Yeah.
So SEAL, SWCC, I think Marine Corps as well. It's waiverable. So
check it out, folks.
Again, there you go. Check that out. That's like I said, that's not our really strong suit.
No, but it's a platform. And so if you guys do come across these newer Navy instructions or updates like this sort of stuff, although we are not recruiters, this is probably a good forum and platform to begin to disseminate such factual information. So continue to share it with us, and we'll do the same. We'll share it with you all.
Like I said, at worst, ask your recruiter. You know, see if they don't know about it, see if you can find that instruction. Remember, it was PTAC 117, I think 15 TAC 105. But if you just Google ManMed, what was it? ManMed P117. Man stands for Manual Medicine.
Your recruiter, really, this should be like hot off the press for recruiters. Hopefully will be aware of this.
Yeah. And it came out as a change. It wasn't part of this massive manual. It's a change. What they do is they send out these couple page changes
and an addendum,
change numbers, and they stick it in the manual. They also fixed a correction too. At one point, did you see that one vision correction that they fixed where it had originally said if you did not have 20/20, you could not be in the, you had to have 20/20, but it's actually 20/200. That's a bad typo right there.
That's way off.
That was way off. So they fixed that one too. So anyway, you guys check that out. Yeah, another question. Did you said you had one from a teenager?
I guess we're going to – Stu and I are going to lump in – we're going to create a hypothetical that's not so hypothetical because we so frequently get the emails. You know, the email or the direct message is really quite simple. Hey, Jeff or Stu, I'm 15 or 16. I plan on enlisting once I get to college or some variation or whatever. It's like I might do a year of school. Like, but the point is these individuals are 15, 16 years old, maybe even 14. I've got them as young as 9. I'm sure you have too.
Yeah.
Which is my son, one that he's 11 is dead set on flying jets. And I'm certain that that's what he wants to do, but it's rare. My point is it's not very often that 11-year-old has stuff figured out, but it seems to me that Stu and I, we're getting emails pretty regularly with the 12, 13, 14-year-old kids. No disrespect by calling you kids, but that's what you are.
Yeah.
Being SEAL. So where does a 14, 15, 16-year-old kid start? And, you know, Stu's done a number of articles on it. And we'll just – so we try to stay on track. We'll just give you some bullet points. Stu will start with some bullet points. And
sure.
We'll go from there.
My number one recommendation is learn how to be a team player. I mean, this is an intangible skill that you get by playing sports or other activities that require group movement and group
teamwork.
Yeah, teamwork, right? So, you know, that could be the band too, by the way. You know, I tell you what, a band member, they are a team player. I don't want to knock band members. They obviously have to work on their physicality, but you know, to play in a band requires extreme teamwork, right? So not knocking the band. So when we say, you know, we want you to play sports, play anything that makes you a team player. So sports just happens to be good. That was our background growing up. You know, I played football, wrestled, then baseball. And then my junior year, they started this powerlifting team. So I didn't wrestle anymore and I powerlifted. I got a letter for lifting weights. How cool was that in the winter? And then wound up couldn't throw the baseball anymore after powerlifting. So I ran track, you know, so that's just the way it evolved. So, you know, get out there and just go do stuff, you know, and work out to get good at those sports. Don't worry about, you know, the PT workout or the weight room workout or you're running and swimming on top of all these things. You know, what you need to do is get good at your sport. And then if you have time, you know, and you're not exhausted at the end of a practice, you know, maybe play around with some calisthenics afterwards, or maybe go swimming to cool down, you know, practice some technique work. You can always practice your technique in swimming if you have the facilities.
For sure.
That's the big one is don't burn yourself out trying to add on some program that we have, you know, on top of playing sports, or don't just do the programs we have without playing, you know, some kind of sports, because like I said, there's an intangible several intangibles that you get from playing sports. And I will say the couple that I like is the team player one. And, you know, also just, you know, learning how to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Yep. Right, because
that's a component of sport, right?
I mean, it's
the practice, the gameplay, the work that has to go into it. That falls in line with being uncomfortable. We're not just saying train to discomfort. If the sports that you are focusing on for those timelines, if you're practicing as hard as you can, that's the idea. Practicing these variety of sports with a lot of effort, you might think, well, shoot, if I'm practicing from this sport to this sport to this sport with maximum effort, well, certainly isn't that going to be the same thing as overtraining? No, not necessarily. That's based on the construct of the sport. But also, you know, basketball, the mechanics of basketball to the novice person may look similar to a person that's wrestling. I mean, just the movement patterns, like the bending of the ankles and the knees and the hips and the rotation. But they are not all created equal, which is why having a variety of these sports builds a really good athletic foundation that allows you, that helps you become more injury resistant. It helps you become more fatigue resistant. So that when you take those two things that sport gives you, along with power and strength development, some endurance, those sort of things, it's such a it's such a thorough way to gain and improve your athleticism. And that's when you say, okay, well, if I, well, I get it, but like, yeah, but I need to get stronger. Well, that's when I'll say, well, then you take a 3-month block that you may not play a sport or purposely don't play a sport in that annual calendar, right?
Yeah.
And you do, you work on your strength, or maybe it's running. You're just a terrible, you have terrible running endurance. So, well, that off season becomes the time to really focus on those skills. And if you mix the sports in with well-planned off time from a sport, but in that off time you're working resistance and swimming and other things, well, by the time you become a senior, you have achieved much better athleticism, much better fatigue resistance, much more injury resistant, and you've gotten stronger, bigger, faster, all those sort of things, not only from the sport, but from the resistance side as well.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. You know, that is why that is why we recommend playing some kind of sport, because it's just, it's going to help you tenfold. Yeah. Right.
The advantage that a 16-year-old boy or girl has of playing 2 to 3 sports a year, and in those down times, non-sports times, do some cross training, focus on some swimming, focus on some weight training, focus on some things that you're not particularly good at.
Yeah.
Well, now you don't have to get to the end of your senior year and go, well, I didn't play sports. Even if you're not good, this conversation is not even relevant to athletic talent. That's not what we're not saying. Go out for swimming, be terrible at it, get better. Be a terrible runner, run cross country, right? If you just have really terrible footwork, play basketball or volleyball or tennis.
Yeah.
So that's what we're looking at. We're saying, what are my weakness? We go, well, is it, I'm just not stronger. We go, well, okay, is it strength an issue, or is it motor function before strength the issue? Well, for the 16-year-old kids, it's likely motor function before strength. Once you develop motor function, then you can see, like any other sports, like I can't hit a ball, we'll practice off a tee. Now I can hit soft toss. Now I can hit live pitching. So weight training is the same thing. It's like you don't walk into the weight room and put on your max rep and execute these beautiful barbell back squats. It takes practice. Yeah. And the evolution of athleticism gives you a much greater foundation for strength, power, endurance.
Yeah. You know, another thing, too, is if you're really on the younger end of the teens, you know, start off with a calisthenic base.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
don't worry about jumping in the weight room right yet. You know,
agreed.
Get yourself a little bit older, 15, 16 years old, you know, where you actually have a coach in the weight room, maybe a high school powerlifting coach, or, you know, the football coach who's, you know, in there. You know, I think some schools have strength training coaches. Not all of them do, but, you know, PE coach is going to help you with that. But yeah, you know, get in that weight room a little bit older, but you know, there's no reason why you can't start off your journey, you know, 13, 14 years old, doing the standard pull up, push up, sit up pyramid, you know, and do that.
Probably started there too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did.
My son started that, you know, and he's able to, you know, go up 1 to 10, back down to 1. It took about a year for him to do that. But, you know, when he was 13, 14, he started just doing calisthenics.
Yeah. Same. I was probably like you. I mean, in a stereotype, as I was a very small child. Again, I know this is a broken record. I've said that a million times. But for me, I started up doing pull-ups in my bedroom. I did dips off of my bed, and I'd stack encyclopedias in my lap. And then I had, like, I would just basically, by no means am I even saying that I made up a TRX, but I figured out using suspension and bands was something as a young kid that I could find stuff around the house to make me stronger.
Right.
You know? And that's where calisthenics are invaluable. Yes. Calisthenics should be a place where, well, I mean, historically, look at how physical education was taught in schools. Well, it starts off with body control and calisthenics.
Yeah.
And that is not a coincidence. That is where you should start, right? Like, look at kids. It starts off with, like, those little gymboree gyms or whatever. It's tumbling. It's manipulating your body over obstacles. It's just mastering your own body.
Yeah.
And then now you put a ball or a bat or something to it. Now you have further improved the need to improve your athleticism. That's all sport is. It's games.
Absolutely. Yeah, martial arts, great tool.
Perfect.
As well. Yeah. You know, get into martial arts too. I mean, there's especially if, you know, your school doesn't have a lot of sports. You know, there are some schools that are pretty rural that just you don't have that opportunity.
We live in this beautiful spot now. Like, even like small town USA, it's hard to find a small, not super rural, but like a small Midwestern town that I grew up in. It's hard to not find one of two things now. Yeah. Some form of martial arts and probably jujitsu in some town now. Yeah. And it's almost hard to not fund a CrossFit gym.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Which is great. And I mean that with absolute, like, with positivity. Not like, I've gotten out of CrossFit gym and jujitsu. That's not what I mean.
You know, build your foundation in there. You know, like I said, I mean, people ask me all the time, is CrossFit something I should use to prepare for SEAL training? Well, I mean, it's a great.
Periodically, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't use it as the sole process of preparing, but, you know, you need to add your run, your rucks, your swims, your probably higher rep stuff. But, you know, for building pure strength and
The metabolic demand and all those things,
it is.
I look at CrossFit as a sport.
Yeah.
It develops athletes.
I would buy that. Yep.
A certain way based off of their curriculum. And same with powerlifters, same with sprinters, same with swimmers. What we're trying to do is, if you look at what you need to achieve as this pie chart, well, we want to fill the pie chart up, not just with stuff. Well, I'm doing 99% of the time weightlifting. No. Let's get as much variety in that pie chart as we can between your calisthenics, your running, your swimming.
Yes.
And you might find it's like, well, shoot, I still got some free time. Well, then we go, well, that's not necessarily fill it full of training. That's what we're going to look at, maybe your recovery and other things, even at a young age, because at 15 and 16, you can pretty much run through a wall, eat very little and sleep very little, and you wake up the next morning and go, oh, I'm pretty good. You know, your nervous system. But the thing is the way you treat yourself at 15 or 16, if you continue to treat yourself like that when you're 18 or 19, you're going to see a real diminishment. So now's the time to learn.
Yeah, you know what else you need to learn? What are most 14, 15-year-olders trying to do? Trying to gain weight.
Yep.
Right? So you're adding all this extra workout in. Guess what you also need to add in? A lot more food.
Yep.
Right? You need to eat a lot more food. So that means, you know, milkshakes and peanut butter and jellies and
snacks.
Go nuts. Now, if you're on the opposite end, you're trying to lose weight, you know, don't necessarily worry about, you know, I mean, obviously you can't eat crap food, but, you know, try to watch your portion control, obviously, but don't starve yourself, you know, because you still need energy to train. And, you know, being young, you can lose a lot of that extra weight that you're trying to drop just by adding more, you know, workouts to your day as well. So,
So like, if you are that 220-pound high school former defensive end type guy, we'll say, or lineman that's 220, 230, Stu's already said it. This one isn't about eating, but if you're 220 pounds and you're staying at 220, you're eating like you're 220,
right?
Given the activity level. So if you want to drop weight, eat like you're 210. Don't eat like you're 185, because your body won't sustain that. And that's the thing when we're talking about calories in, calories out. It's not as simple as just cutting a huge portion out. Part of the plan, like, look at your program, be like, well, I'm in a 12-week X program. Well, it's this very strange thing. It's like, well, I'm going to drop some weight before I get into the program. No. Use the program and the physical activity of that program to help you start shaving off 50 calories here, 100 calories here, or the inverse. You know, here's an opportunity to get 100 calories in.
Yep.
Right? Here's another opportunity to get 150 in. Right? Go away from skim milk, drink whole milk. Since we've kind of already gone down this road, but
yeah, sure.
Maybe we'll do another one on how, you know, hard gainers. Maybe the next one we do is, hey, here's a video on hard gainers for your 15 and 16s. But
yeah.
And this is the same thing can get spilled into your military, law enforcement, and fire, that especially like firefighters, they might have some downtime at times. Police officers might have some downtime sitting their cruisers. But we're all kind of made equal. It's just it's a timing thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, another thing too, we're talking about kind of getting comfortable being uncomfortable. Here's some reasons why I think sports is good. And it's not what you think. It's not because you're pushing yourself so hard. It's the little things like putting on a pair of wet pads from the day before. It's just gross. You know, jumping into a pool at 5:30 in the morning, you know, getting up out of bed at 4:30 in the morning, you know, to go
especially like summer, you know, summer break, like summer break, 2-a-days. I don't think many places do 2-a-days anymore. I think it's a lot of states don't allow 2-day football practices. Yeah. Not the point. My point is that even now the summer football practices, because of the heat in many places, they're early.
Yeah.
It sucks, but there is that aspect, as Stu is saying. It's like, yes, football practice at 7 a.m. in August still sucks.
Yeah, like I said.
Because you got to get to bed. You got to fuel it. Like, and probably that 2-a-days now kind of still exists, because they're probably like, all right, guys, after practice, we're hitting the weights.
Yep.
So – That is the one thing about sport, that intangible of accountability with the masses in sport. You can't overlook the value of that, because that same thing exists. That exact same thing exists in military service.
Well, how about this? Getting banged up a little bit. You know, I've had sprained ankles on Wednesday, played a game on Friday, you know, just had to tape it up and go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a day at Bud's.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have flare-ups of whatever at Bud's, and you still just have to keep rolling. You
know, and so that's why these 2 years or even 3 years that Stu and I keep saying, take your time. Because let's say you're 16 years old, you're 6 months into a training program where you've established a good base of calisthenics, a little bit of running has been instituted, a little bit of swimming. Maybe you got a little overzealous and you started fitting too much.
Yeah.
Or you started fitting while you were adding a little bit of mileage, so you got a little bit of shin splints. Well, what do we do? Well, this is a great opportunity for you to go, okay, I'm not injured, but this is a little more than I want. So it makes you pay attention over those 2 years. You shouldn't be going, screw it, I got to train harder, just keep beating myself up. You got to go, well, let's get me to as training as hard as possible while playing with fire a little bit, but purposely go, no, I'm playing with fire, which is why now I'm going to purposely take a couple days off.
Right.
You know, in the future.
Yeah.
We're not saying don't train hard, folks. We're just saying when your body is clearly saying for successive days, appetite's bad, can't sleep, I have chronic soreness. That's when we, especially at 15 and 16, use your 15, 16, 17 year old body to your advantage to heal. Don't just keep beating it up because you can.
Right.
At that age. That's my soapbox speech.
Absolutely. Eat more food, recover, and sleep. Take a day off if you need it. I think this one goes without saying too, is, you know, if you're that young, you know, when I say, you know, mid-teens in that range, you know, work hard in school, you know, don't screw up your school, and stay out of trouble. You know, if you really want to prepare for military service, you know, if you start getting in trouble at school, and then that flows into getting in trouble with the law, right? And it just kind of grows into that, depending on what kind of crowd you're hanging out with, you're going to have a hard time joining the military. I mean, there are waivers. They call them moral waivers for people who have been arrested and things like that. But I tell you what, you get a DUI, you're probably done. I mean,
you might be able to get in the Army in the future, and that's not a knock on the Army.
No.
That's just will be your only option probably.
Yeah.
The Army has their reasons, but the thing too is if you get a DUI, here's from what I understand, aside from like, hey, they don't want choir boys, as Stu will say. They also want somebody that can show restraint. Why? Is because what they don't want is somebody in there that has the Navy. They're not going to give security clearance to people with problems with DUIs, gambling, or other money issues, debt issues. That's the reality. Is you're not going to get a guy with DUIs and debt issues a TSSCI clearance. You're just not.
Yep.
That's absolutely why. So it's pretty simple. Stay sober, get a clearance. Don't stay sober, you'll never get into a Tier 1 unit.
Yeah, good point.
Very simple.
Yeah, really good point. So what else? What else do we tell the 16-year-old wanting to go to Bud's? Be patient.
Yeah,
I think,
Yeah, I mean, the big patient thing too is my piece of advice is this, and we've kind of covered this in many videos before, is don't, and this goes right in line with take your time. Don't do everything at once. If yes. you need to get stronger, upper body, but you also need to improve your running a lot because of stronger legs, more aerobic endurance, whatever it may be. Don't think that you're going to be able to tackle each one of these deficiencies at the same time.
Yeah. Love it. Thank
optimally,
you.
Optimally.
Yes.
Just you can kind of, and that's why you're going to see like a couple days that are total body on purpose between he and Stu and I yeah. stuff. But for the most part, you know, Stu always talk about, well, in the winter, this becomes our focus doesn't matter. Stu could flip flop the two.
Oh, sure.
He could do bulking in the summer. Why? Because he can. He's just trying to create some real consistency to a program that as people come in, they can become assimilated, just like Buds. You know, you show up to Buds. Buds isn't changing for the students. The students have to assimilate, yeah. right? And so that's what I say. If you're 16 years old and you got 2 years and you're like, oh my God, I can't run, I can't do this. Yeah, but you have 2 years of approaching it very, very smartly, and you're going to do it each one kind of independently. Focus a little bit more on running. You're still doing calisthenics and such, yep. but then the focus shifts. So just don't try to do everything at once in that timeline.
Yeah, that is one thing I've learned, is it is really hard to get really strong at the same time as you are dropping your mile pace for running. Yep. You know, because that, I mean, most of us are you know, when you're in this training cycle, you can run, you just may not be running as fast as you'd like, right? Yes. So, you know, that's when you need to up your game in your running. You know, start learning your goal pace, start adding in sprints, you know, to learn how to run faster. But that's not when you want to start, you know, doing one rep maxes of deadlifts and squats either. You
know? For sure. For yeah. sure.
Yeah. So that's all we're saying. Just have a cycle. You have a strength training hypertrophy cycle, and you have a cycle of running and yep. high calisthenics. And just yep. bounce them back and forth.
Treat them all like sports, because if at some point you're just like, I'm getting stronger, but I'm really genuinely worried about my running. What it's really not a complex answer. Stop doing everything you're doing except for running. You're like, yeah. well, yeah, but what about my strength? If you run properly, you're going to see very little drop in that strength.
And if you're adding in calisthenics, you definitely see.
It will stimulate. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the one of the most beautiful sides of calisthenics outside of creating that initial adolescent base, is as you are working, like as Stu said, hey, I really need to work on my running, swimming. Well, we still want to have some stimulus of anaerobic work, calisthenics.
Absolutely.
Light band work. Do some light resistance. You go into the gym. Like if you're on a 6-day training cycle, we'll say, and your focus is running. Well, four and a half of those training cycle days are running primarily. But maybe 2 days of that week, you are going to go into the gym on a Tuesday and Thursday and do a 45-minute full body workout, and then leave right from there, and then do a 20-minute run on the backside. Now you've got a 60-minute cardio work, with the front side being anaerobic, right? You're still doing an anaerobic base. You go out the gym or get on the treadmill and you run for 20 minutes, moderate pace. Bam, you just did them both. But yeah. we don't want to put the cart before the horse. Like, you don't want to do a big running session, like a big long endurance session, then try to lift weights for a maximal or even a moderate pace. Right. Just keep that in mind. Do one thing at a time. Whatever your focus is, let that be your focus for a period of time, and then change it.
Yeah. As you can see, you know, this is probably the only question we're going to answer in this video.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We've kind of gone on about, you know, the teenager preparing for Buds. As you can see, it's a fairly complex answer, but you can make it really simple, because here's why. When I was in that age, I had no idea I wanted to be a Navy SEAL, right? I just wanted to be a competitive athlete in my high school, you know, somehow. And I wasn't an athlete. I had to work hard. So year round, I was lifting to get stronger to play football. And then I would lose weight and work on my calisthenics and running to be a better wrestler. And, you know, I'd work around and, you know, try to play baseball and, you know, work on those skills. So it was something different. You know, I'd quit lifting during baseball because that
would screw me up,
you know. So it just kind of rotated through the cycle like that. And that was very helpful. It was very helpful in, you know, creating a good foundation that when I joined the military, I knew then that I had a good foundation of what I wanted to do. And now I had some time in the military because I went to college first and, you know, had to, you know, learn the process of getting prepared specifically for BUDS.
Right.
But, you know, little did I know as I was preparing for BUDS without knowing I was even going to BUDS when I was that age, because all of those things helped, like we just mentioned. So it can be very complex in how you do it, but it can also be very simple and just get out there and go do something and build these, you know, experiences that will help you in your future.
Yeah. And that's why we're saying, because I didn't plan on joining the Navy when I was in college, honestly, not until the end. I certainly didn't plan on in high school. But, you know, like swimming is that answer. Like I was good. I was a good swimmer. And the only reason why I continued to swim after high school was just because of baseball. It was like, well, my arms and shoulders and knees and hips stayed healthy all through high school and middle school because of swimming. I should probably continue on with that, taking care. And I didn't, that wasn't my thought. I was like, oh, it's healthy for my shoulders and knees.
Sure.
And in hindsight, I look at it and go, well, it was a good thing I just continue to swim for those reasons.
Sure.
But also just overall athleticism. You just, it's hard to put a value to it, but it really is. It's extremely valuable to have, as you say, like you've got to be diversified in your physicality.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the answer to the early teen considering this career path, which,
yes,
you know, thank you. Thank you for considering serving your country. I think that's awesome. You know, now you just got to prepare your body so you can do it and not hurt yourself.
For sure.
Yeah. Yep. So there you go, Jeff. Thanks a lot, man.
I appreciate it, Stu.
All right. We'll see you.